I am Johnny Massacre and welcome to my world. Tonight, Elon Musk visited the US border and he interviewed Border Patrol agents and he estimates that around 6 million illegal immigrants are coming into the United States every year. And of those 6 million, 9 out of 10 don't return to their country of origin. Who is with me? Give me a hell yeah! So anyone can become a citizens journalist over on X nowadays, even its owner, Elon Musk. So Elon Musk went to the border, as I said, and he spoke specifically to a few Border Patrol agents, one of which gave some enlightening information. His name is Tony Gonzalez. He's a local member of Congress, and he represents 42% of the southern border and two-thirds of the Texas-Mexico border. And he said, "We feel abandoned." Do you want to see this interview? Because it is kind of incredible. I've never really heard anything like this. The Border Patrol agent estimates 4 to 5 million illegals per year. Elon Musk estimates about 6 million. And these are the illegals that we know about. And the Border Patrol agent said they're experiencing all-time highs and the number of illegal immigrants is increasing. This is not even political anymore. Even Democrats admit this. The mayor of New York City and the governor of New York City recently come out and saying they can't take any more illegals. Even Democrats are saying there are too many and those illegals are putting strain on the infrastructure of their cities, respectively. Apparently, 9 out of 10 of them don't qualify for asylum and none of them are returning. Actually, so before when I said 9 out of 10 don't return, I made a mistake. Actually, none of them return. None of these people return. 9 out of 10 of them don't qualify for asylum in America, and yet none of them return. And even when they're asked to return, they don't have to return. They're still protected within America. So essentially what you're seeing is about 5, 6, or even 7 million illegals every year. And these totals are increasing exponentially, according to the Border Patrol agent, into the United States of America. So let's look at the interview that Elon Musk conducted with Tony Gonzalez, this Border Patrol agent, and you can hear for yourself how crazy things are getting in terms of illegal immigration and the United States of America.
Okay, just to go over some of the numbers that we talked about in the video that I'll upload later. There's roughly, correct me if I'm wrong, about 2.5 million processed illegals per year. And then it's somewhat debatable how many are sort of unprocessed, but maybe it's like in total, call it maybe 4 or 5 million.
Maybe 4 or 5 million who are not even processed. So double the amount of people who are being processed. So around like 6 million that we know about illegal immigrants coming into America every year, according to Musk.
Illegal immigrants per year. This number is also has reached all-time highs.
All-time highs.
All-time highs, and is continuing to increase.
Yes.
Nothing, as far as you know, is being done about it at the federal level?
Nothing. Things, simple things, common sense things that we can enact can make a difference today. Simple things like raising the level of credible fear. Many people are seeking asylum, are not going to qualify for asylum.
Yeah, move to where you can get a better, yes. I don't know.
This way?
I don't know, sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so right now, last month, there was over 200,000 people that came over illegally. So that is, that's in the millions. You multiply that times 12, you know, here you are, 2.5 million people coming over. Most of the people that are seeking asylum are not going to qualify for asylum. 9 out of 10 actually are not. So one of the things...
So 9 out of 10 of these 6 million people coming over, of which only 2.5 million come across legally, in inverted commas, don't even qualify for asylum, and none of them return. Wild.
Can do is we can raise the asylum criteria.
An important point is that although, as you're saying, like basically 90% do not qualify for asylum, of the 90% that do not qualify for asylum, how many are sent back to the country of origin?
Zero.
Of the 90% of the 6 million per year that come into the United States illegally, zero return to their country of origin. Did you know that? Fact.
Here in this
okay,
Del Rio sector,
point.
In Del Rio sector alone, you have 2,500 people coming over illegally a day and zero sending back.
Zero.
Zero.
Not even like a 10.
Not even a
nothing.
Nothing.
Zero.
Nothing. So
Not even 10 people they're sending back of these millions. Zero they send back. Just coming in. People with teardrops tattooed on their face, which means they've killed people. People with rat tattooed on their head from the Mexican cartels. You saw that the other day. Zero of these people return.
What kind of signal does that send the rest of the world?
Sure.
Is this is where you need to come and this is you're not going to be sent back.
Exactly. What kind of signal does that send the rest of the world? You're incentivizing people to come. A country with some of the best benefits in the world, the least racist country on earth. You know, in Saudi Arabia, I was reading an article recently, when people try to illegally cross into there, they explode them with mortars. And America is the place, obviously, that then all these nefarious governments or groups are going to try to push their illegal immigrants towards to destroy their rivals. This is complete insanity.
Okay, so it's basically no repercussions.
No repercussions. That's what that's the number one thing that this administration has to do. There has to be some repercussions. Now, it's due process. Make sure that people get their day in court. That, you know, I've been advocating that one person that does qualify for asylum, we need to make sure that they don't get sent back to certain death or anything like that. But the 9 out of 10 that don't, I mean, there has to be repercussions. And once you do that, Elon, this goes away.
So he's saying of the 10% that should be able to claim asylum, it's fine. It's fine. Protect those people who do it legally through the proper legal channels. But everybody else should be sent back, he's saying.
It went away for Trump. It went away for Obama. It went away for Bush. It went away for Clinton. And they're not willing to do that. And I don't understand why.
Well, when you reached out to the White House, what's their response?
Their response is it is a political problem. It is not.
What does that mean?
They think it's just, you know, the Republicans are blaming the Democrats. Democrats are blaming the Republicans. And
they think it's not real. Or something?
It's not real. It's a political problem. What's working the most is these mayors from these cities. They're all many times Democrat mayors.
Mayor of New York, in fact.
Mayor of New York, very.
The governor of New York.
Governor of New York, exactly. El Paso, the mayor of El Paso.
And so on and so on. So you can go and watch it yourself. Go on to X. Go to Elon Musk's Twitter account and just look at some of the videos he was posting when he was interviewing Border Patrol agents. I see Pablo Benz in the comments. He says, hey, Johnny. Hello, Pablo. How are you today? So some of the other things that Musk was talking about there, and this was clarified by this Border Patrol agent known as Tony Gonzalez, were the fact that once you do come into the United States, even if you are processed illegally, and it seems like most of the people coming in are not even if you are processed legally, and it seems like most of the people coming in aren't processed legally, it takes 2 years to get seen before you can have your application and your case heard. And then even if they say you have to get out, you can still stay and these people can't be deported. That's what they talked about, Elon Musk and this Border Patrol agent. This is fucking insanity. So I can't get my head around this. So in Japan, if you're university educated and you apply, you can come here for 1 year. Only 1 year, not the 2 years that someone from the middle of bumfuck nowhere can get if they just roll up and just go into America. You only get 1 year in Japan if you're university educated, and then you've basically got to fuck off. In Japan, if you were to try to come in illegally, and I don't know how you would manage it because you basically got to sail over the Pacific or swim, if you don't have access to a boat and a compass, they're going to fucking hunt you down and kick you the fuck out. They have like prison cells in immigration for any illegal immigrants who come into Japan who somehow make it there. And they're going to make your life hell. They're going to kick you out. As I said before, Japan takes about 10 to 15 refugees a year. 10 to 15. Compare that to America's 6 million that we know about. The point is, in Japan, they will kick you the fuck out. And if you want to come here just randomly, you have to basically be university educated, and then you can only come here for a year, and then you have to fuck off. In America, you roll up illegally with no education, no history, basically no passport. And not only do you get a year like you would in Japan, you get 2 years. And not only that, if after 2 years you come back to be processed and they say, no, you can't stay, you can still stay in Japan. This is what Border Patrol said. This is literally what happens. So you can still stay in America. That's fucking... I can't get my head around that. Why would essentially the biggest economy, most powerful country in the world, allow like nearly like 5% of its population to pour in every year of unvetted people, with some of whom have teardrop tattoos. This is what they're talking about. Some of them have teardrop tattoos. That means they've killed someone and they're proud of it. Why would you let this happen? So showing you Japan's immigration policies, how hard it is to come here where I live, in comparison to America's, you know, refugee policies and migration policies, really shows you how insane and unworkable America's policy is, and perhaps shows you how America's policy needs to change. I think it needs to be more like Japan. Japan has no fucking crime. I talk about this all the time. I know loads of people lose their wallet. My mate, I'm going to see him tonight. We're going to go for a 2-hour run. Big up Kiyoshi-san. He lost his wallet a couple of weeks ago. I barely even considered it. I knew he was going to get it back. He got it back with all his credit cards cash. I've never seen a mugging in Japan. I've never heard of a mugging in Japan. And we have no illegal immigration at all. I mean, do those two things tally? I think they obviously do. Because if you don't vet people coming into your country, the same way if you don't vet people coming into your club or vet someone coming into your house, if you have a house party, some like shady randoms turn up you didn't invite, what do you think's going to happen? You know what's going to happen. So go and check that out. That was really interesting. There's various videos that Elon Musk has been posting on X. Here's another video where he's talking to the Border Patrol agents to really let you know the severity of the crisis on the U.S. southern border.
Okay. So basically, we're seeing unprecedented, the all-time highs,
yes.
And increasing.
And spreading. Yeah. It's not in just one area. It's not just like, it's just one city or one town, and not even one state anymore. You know, we're talking about New York today, but Chicago, you're hearing it there, LA, Denver. There's all these other places where it's just spreading, just continues to get bubbling up.
And just to quantify it, I think you said 2,000 a day or something, just in this location.
Just here. Yeah, just here.
So that's like over 700,000 a year.
Just in this one location, yeah.
Okay, just 700,000 sort of legal immigrants a year, just in this one location.
Just in this one location.
Okay.
El Paso, right now in El Paso.
That's higher than the population of Wyoming, FYI. Sure.
Higher than the population of Wyoming coming in to America on a regular basis.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and that's just one location. What is the total number from all locations, roughly?
Millions. I mean, it's literally
millions,
and those are just the folks that we know have engaged. What about all the others?
That's just who was actually processed.
Yes, the gotaways are the ones that you know.
Yeah, so meaning that like the actual number is much higher.
Much higher.
Okay, that's very important for people to know.
Yeah.
That the actual number is much higher. Is the official number something like 2 million or something? Where is it?
It varies, and it depends on who you ask, but okay. I've seen it as high as 2.6 million. And that number just every year for the past 3 years has almost doubled.
2.6 million, and the number is doubling every year. And these are the people who were processed. The people who weren't processed, this guy said before, is double that. So there's probably 3 to 4 million unprocessed at least, plus 2 to 2.5 million processed. And 9 out of 10 of these people will not get successful asylum, and none of these people return, and it's doubling every single year. So essentially, you're going to see 20, 30 million illegals come into the United States within the next like 3 or 4 years. Fact.
Like 1.1,
and then it's just
doubling year after year. It's compounding year after year because it's not just one part of the world either. It's all parts of the world that are coming in El Paso.
Yeah, I think that's actually an important point to make because, you know, sometimes people think, well, people just come from Mexico, but this is not the case.
No, not the case at all.
The reality is that this is an open border for all of Earth.
All of Earth.
And just, you know, so there's roughly 350 million people in the U.S., but there's 8 billion people on Earth.
Yes.
This is an open border to 8 billion people.
Yes, exactly.
And so...
And remember, in Japan, every year they take about 10 to 15. America's now taking about 6 million a year. And it's doubling every year.
fact, I believe it's small minority, or it's a minority. It's a small percentage that are actually coming from Mexico.
Yeah,
that are Mexican.
That's true.
Yes.
Okay.
Sheriff Zertuche, this is a how close are you to the border?
60 miles.
68 miles from the border.
68 miles from the border.
That's correct. What type of nationalities are coming through your county?
We're seeing anywhere from Honduras, El Salvador, I believe Ecuador, and stuff like that. Even some Cubans.
It's pretty much every country,
well,
right?
Pretty much every country.
Yeah.
It's very rare that we see anybody just from Mexico.
So, it's actually rare to see anyone from Mexico.
And then I'm 68 miles from the border. I'm 80 miles south of here from Eagle Pass.
How big is your workforce? How big is the sheriff's office?
My patrol staff's only 16 strong.
16 total.
Okay.
So how many do you have on call one time?
Maybe two at the most.
Two people on patrol and thousands coming in illegally every single day. And what this guy Gonzalez was saying was, Border Patrol wants him to be out there catching the criminals, catching the drug dealers, but because the processing facility is so overcrowded, he can't go out there and do that, and they don't have enough manpower, so that they can't actually go out and do their job and stop illegals, people coming in without being processed. They actually have to stay at the processing facility and just let those people walk in there.
Enforcement officers to tackle, I mean, some of these counties that I represent, they're size of states, and they've got two or three people trying to tackle it all. This is where the local community just feel completely overwhelmed, because Border Patrol agents used to be the front line, and now they're here, they're under the bridge, they're processing folks, so they're completely out of the game. So these law enforcement, the local law enforcement officers, are carrying all the weight.
And that means local crime is going to go up as well, because local law enforcement, now they have to go and deal with this shit. And you heard what he said, the size of a state, and there's like two or three people. I mean, fuck, dude, why do you think there's millions of people coming every single year? Why do you think? I showed you on the show yesterday, New York is signing contracts with your tax money in order to pay hotels to house migrants. And then there's loads of local charities that get tax money. I wonder if those people in... who are getting the tax money, and these people are going to take care of immigrants in the hotels and stuff, are going to buy the paintings of the politicians and congressmen and judges that allowed these contracts to happen. You can see there's some kind of industrial complex, like an immigration or like an illegal immigration industrial complex, where people actually get money for this stuff. It's incentivized. If I was a hotel, as cynical as this sounds, if I'm going to get my hotel full for the next 4 years and every single room is going to be full, even if it's an illegal immigrant, I'd be like, hell yeah, give me that money. And then the local politician is going to be like, okay, I'm going to sign this fat contract to pay you to take these illegal immigrants. And then when I do a nice painting, are you going to buy my painting so I can launder the money back to myself? Obviously, this is incentivized in more ways than one.
My county alone is 1,500 square miles.
Right, so it's not possible, really.
It's very difficult to handle.
Yeah. Okay. It's worth going over a bunch of things that you mentioned to me, which is like there's almost no repatriation.
Right.
This is another thing that was I found surprising. Basically, once somebody gets in, that they're in.
Yes.
That there's essentially no there's in theory repatriation, in theory flying back.
Yes.
And I believe you talked to the president of Guatemala and asked him would they take people back, and he said of course.
Yes, I said I'll take every single one of them.
Yeah, no problem.
So, no problem. All you got to do is ask
call.
Us.
Yeah, yeah.
Ask, just call.
The White House just needs to call.
Exactly.
Okay.
And every white.
So there's no repatriation, and this guy said that it's kind of rare that the people coming in are from Mexico. They're from a whole load of other countries, proving these are economic migrants. They could stop at any country, but they come to the US. Why? Because it's where they can get the most money and most benefits. And people in the US are obviously the least racist on earth. You can invade the country. You can have like fucking 6 million illegal people. Someone have teardrops on their face and drug dealers coming in, child traffickers, children being sold into sex slavery. You don't think if you've got some open border into this fucking big pot of money that is America, you're not going to attract a few criminals? In the same way, if you leave your fucking front door open and go on holiday for a week, some people aren't going to come in and take advantage. Of course this shit's happening. Of course this shit's happening. It's incentivized. It's wild. These people are not being sent back. And they're economic migrants. They're coming from all over the world. So to put into perspective how insane this is, allowing, like, what, 6 million fucking randoms from all over the world. Let me read you this quote from Strange Death of Europe by Douglas Murray. He's talking about the same thing, illegal migration, but in terms of Europe. He said, until the latter half of the last century, Britain had almost negligible levels of immigration. Unlike America, for instance, Britain had never been a nation of immigrants. And although there was often a trickle of people moving in, the mass movement of people was almost unknown. In fact, immigration was so unknown that when it did happen, people talked about it for centuries. This is how strong the culture used to be. When discussing migration into the United Kingdom today, one can expect someone to mention the Huguenots. Those Protestants forced to flee persecution in France, to whom Charles II offered sanctuary in 1681. Apparently, this is my family lineage. So I came from these people who fled France, the Protestants who fled persecution in France. So actually, I'm a French wanker. The Huguenot, for example, is more resonant than people realize. Firstly, because despite the proximity of culture and religion enjoyed by French and English Protestants at the time, it took centuries for the Huguenots to integrate into Britain, with many people still describing themselves as coming from Huguenot stock. So how crazy is that? France and England are so ideologically aligned. Politically, it's very similar. And culturally, it's very similar. Our food's kind of way worse, but it kind of looks a little bit similar if you don't have good eyesight. And even then, these two very close cultures, they saw themselves as separate. Those foreigners coming over was talked about for centuries, essentially. And even after hundreds of years, Huguenots who came over, they still said, like, I'm not British. I'm not even British. I'm a Huguenot. Essentially, they would have said, I'm French. So that is how many? Let's see how many of these people came over. I think it's about around 50. Okay, here we go. So, but the other salient point about the Huguenots and the reason people cite them so frequently is the matter of scale. So how many Huguenots do you think came over to England where after hundreds of years they still said, I'm not English, and they couldn't essentially completely adapt to the culture? 50,000! 50,000! That's probably what's coming in per half a day in America. Unbelievable. Only 50,000 arrived in Britain after 1681, which was undoubtedly a huge movement for the time. But this scale was in a wholly different league to the mass immigration Britain has seen in recent years. And compare that to America now. Very interesting. From the period of the Blair government onwards, Britain has seen an equal number of immigrants to that one-off number of Huguenots arriving not once in the nation's history, but every couple of months. This is every couple of hours now in the United States. And this immigration was by no means composed of French Protestants who couldn't integrate into England. In England, we've got people, for example, from Uganda. 30,000 Ugandan Asians were brought into Britain in the early 1970s after they were expelled from Uganda. In the UK, memories of this one-off influx are generally coloured with pride and good feeling, not just because it was a demonstrable and limited relief of a desperate people, but because those Ugandan Asians who arrived in Britain often made a palpable and grateful contribution to public life. In the post-1997 years of immigration, the same number of people as that one-off 30,000 strong influx arrived into the country every 6 weeks. And in America, it's now like every 6 hours or 12 hours. So you've got a culture really close to England. France, Protestants, persecuted, came over, only 50,000 of them, and centuries later, they didn't really feel English. Now take people from like all over the world with completely different religions, cultures, really, really poor countries with insane crime and corruption, and you flood a country with that every single day. What the fuck do you think is going to happen to America, the culture, and the system? There's no debate now. This puts a strain on resources. Even the far liberal, like pro-globalist, pro-immigration people in New York, Eric Adams, governor of New York, and also the mayor of New York, even they're saying there's too many, it's putting a strain on resources. You can go and find it. The government contracts that are handed out to hotels to house these people come out of your tax money. $6 billion contract we signed the other day in New York to kind of help migrants and house them and stuff. It comes out of your money. So these people are economic migrants. They put a strain on the system. And they're all over the streets now. You can see them in the streets in New York. I've seen the pictures recently coming out of the liberal press. So Elon Musk becoming a citizens journalist, inspiring you to do it too. And essentially, we have to have a conversation about this. But the problem is, everything is so politicized. All this is going to come down to is a way to make my side look good and your side look bad. The Democrats and Republicans are never going to be able to agree on this. The Democrats will see it as a chance to demonize Republicans and call them racist because they don't want their country to be flooded by 10 million illegals, some of whom have teardrops on their face tattooed because they kill people. Republicans are going to say Democrats want to destroy the United States of America. This is going to get politicized. They hate each other. I watched the impeachment inquiry yesterday that was held by the House Oversight Committee in the halls of Congress. And before the Democrats even heard any of the evidence and articles of impeachment against Joe Biden, they all voted no to impeachment. So they don't even listen to each other. This is never going to get fixed. All the while, the people are getting screwed. The infrastructure is getting destroyed. Mate, 6 to 7 million every single fucking year? This is so crazy and exponentially increasing. And Japan takes, what, 10? I think America's kind of fucked, man. The only way to do it is to say you're going to be turned away immediately. If all the money that was drained out of the system that people are using to house these people, and bearing in mind these people are never going to get kicked out, you heard there from Border Patrol and Elon Musk, 0% of these people return. If all of that money was actually just completely stopped and invested in just sending these people home, putting them on a flight, putting them on a boat, whatever, that money's got to be a fraction of the money that it actually costs to house these people and take care of them and deal with it. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. There's no argument here, as far as I'm concerned. There's no argument. Just because they're already there doesn't mean you shouldn't kick them out. If you've had someone like living illegally in your attic for like 1 year and then you suddenly fucking realize, does that mean, oh no, they should stay? He's been there for a year. Of course not. You kick the fucker out. And just let people come through illegally. People who deserve asylum, process it properly. That's all we have to do. So there you go. Elon Musk went to the southern border. And it turns out around 2 to 2.5 million people are being processed, illegal immigrants. And then they go away for 2 years. And after 2 years, they come back. 9 out of 10 are not granted asylum, but 0 return. And they don't have to return. And those are the people who are processed legally. And people who are getting in illegally because the processing is taking up so much manpower that no one can actually stop the people coming in illegally. And there's like 2 people to deal with thousands every day at various parts across the southern border. That means that around like 4 to 5 million are coming in illegally as well, but not being processed. So you've got around like 6 million, like 5 to 6 million, and it's increasing, it's doubling every single year. That's what's going on right now. Elon Musk shedding light on that. Can you imagine if he hadn't bought X? You probably wouldn't be hearing about any of this stuff, at least not on the application formerly known as Twitter. So, essentially, what can we do about it? I mean, you've got to share this video to people. People need to know the truth about what's going on. And we need a much stricter immigration policy. We essentially have to send the people back who are coming here illegally. We have to get them out because it's incentivized now to come here. I mean, you get fucking put in a hotel, for fuck's sake. Even I won't get put in a hotel. If I come to America and I say I want to stay, they're not going to let me in. And they're certainly not going to give me a fucking hotel for 2 years. But you're going to give that to someone with teardrop tattoos, potentially? So we have to say these people can't stay. We have to have Remain in Mexico policy. The message must be, if you come here illegally, you're immediately getting turned around and getting sent out. That's it. And to process this many people and say, come back in 2 years and you can stay anyways, I mean, what the fuck do you think is going to happen? Essentially, you're going to have to say, if you come here and you just turn up and you don't have a appointment for asylum, then you're not coming in and you're getting sent back to your country, and that's it. And then you only accept a certain amount of people for asylum. You have a limit. Japan's is 10, so maybe America could be super fucking generous. What could we say? How many people can claim asylum? What's fair? Well, we saw in the book there 50,000 people who are culturally similar to you. They can't assimilate in 200 years. So let's say 5,000 a year, and you can all apply from the country that you're in. They all seem to have smartphones, and then we can go through it. The ones that look like a good case, okay, you can come. you have a meeting, then you can go off, and then in 2 years is too long. Let's say 2 months, you come back, it's going to be easy to process 5,000 people, and then we'll decide whether you can stay or not. And every single other person will be turned away, put on a plane and sent back. Remove all these contracts to house illegal people in hotels and send them all back to where they came from. In the same way, if some person walks into your house, you'll frog march them to the door and you'll send them back out there and you'll call the cops. That's it. That's how we're going to solve this. Simple. So Elon Musk shining a light on what's going on at the southern border. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny Masker, and we're discussing the insane amounts of illegal immigration in the United States of America. But if you have been watching from the beginning, stop your grinning and drop your linen, donate some cash and let's keep winning. You can put it in your browser now, https://streamlabs.com/Johnny Massacre, and you can donate. And if you leave a comment, I'll read it out live. We've got 45 hours to go. We beat last month's goal of $795. We made $1,144, slowed up a bit in the last week. Very happy to receive those donations. Any more coming my way, I will not say no. So Ashley Slushy in the comments says, dude, I truly think someone is living in my attic, probably an alien. You might want to check that out, mate. Might want to check that out. So speaking of partisan, because this has become partisan now, the left are just going to say, if you don't want 10 million people to come into your country every year, you're racist. The right will say, the left are trying to destroy the infrastructure of our country in order for it to fall to communism. Well, last night, the House Oversight Committee held a hearing on the Biden impeachment. So Biden is not being impeached yet. What happens is they have an impeachment inquiry. They have to introduce articles of impeachment, essentially evidence and stuff, and build a case for impeachment. And then this can take up to a year. And after that, the House will vote. Republicans control the House. That means there are more Republicans who have seats in the House than Democrats. And when they vote for this, if more than 50% vote to impeach Biden, then it will go to the Senate. And in the Senate, essentially, there'll be a trial. And then they'll decide whether to impeach Biden or not. If they do, he'll be removed as president. And then he can never be president again. So they're introducing evidence and stuff. And this is mad. So I went onto my phone yesterday on X. And then this little thing appeared at the top and said, this is happening live, this impeachment inquiry hearing. I looked at it and I watched it for a few hours. It was very entertaining. And I just thought, fuck, man, if Musk hadn't taken over, there is no way this would have come up on my feed. So I don't know if X is becoming less left-wing. It certainly has to a certain degree. But in terms of its kind of structure and how it promotes itself and how it pushes information to you, or if it's just becoming more central and you're getting more information generally on both sides. But I feel that if Musk hadn't taken over, then I would never have been recommended this. So I watched the whole fucking thing and it was a complete fucking clusterfuck. So yeah, let's kind of have a look at what happened in this impeachment inquiry hearing. So essentially you have James Comer, who's the head of the House Oversight Committee, and that's a committee whose job it is to make sure the government doesn't do anything illegal. And this wasn't about providing any new evidence. It was never going to be about that. But the mainstream media kind of made it out as if it's supposed to be. And they said, oh, there was no new evidence here. But it's getting the ball rolling with this impeachment of Biden. And you had a bunch of Democrats and they all have 5 minutes on the minimum mic. And essentially they say Joe Biden's innocent, and then the Republican will come on and go, no, Joe Biden's guilty, we should impeach him. It was the most partisan thing I've ever seen. As I said before, the Democrats voted not to impeach and go forward with it before they'd seen one piece of evidence. So the whole thing is broken from the start. And the funny thing I find about these hearings is there's a lot of narcissism involved. I think you have to be a narcissist to be a politician, but I mean that in the sense that this should be for the benefit of the people, and that's what should be at the forefront of their mind. But when they either defend or attack Joe Biden, you feel that this is their 5 minutes of fame and this is their chance to go up the ladder, and it's all about getting a gotcha and providing a good camera moment. So that's what happened. The most entertaining thing for me was watching Democrats just blindly defend Joe Biden and just accuse the Republicans of doing the things that they have been doing for the last 3 years, literally. They were saying, instead of saying a witch hunt, which is what Trump called the impeachment, Raskin, who's a Democrat, I think from Massachusetts or something like that, he was the kind of star of the show for the Democrats. He had a lot of good like counter arguments in a legal sense. And he was just, he called it a wild goose chase. So it's, the Democrats call it the wild goose chase. The Republicans call it a witch hunt. The hypocrisy is insane. The Democrats are saying this impeachment is essentially a witch hunt. When they impeach Donald Trump not once but twice, so when they do it, it's not a witch hunt. They say it's politically motivated. I mean, man, they have politicized everything. They politicized impeachment. They didn't do it because they actually thought, you know, Donald Trump should be impeached. Because you saw how bullshit it was. They fucking went off the whole Russia narrative, which is categorically, factually false. It's not even a thing now. It's actually false. And they went with that, and they even highlighted that in their criticism of the impeachment, of potential impeachment of Joe Biden. They said Donald Trump was, you know, making phone calls with Russia and stuff like this, which is actually debunked and not true. And that was their own impeachment inquiry, which is literally phony. And then they used that phony, phony framing of Donald Trump as evidence that Donald Trump is bad, in the same sentence as saying that the Republican impeachment of Joe Biden is phony, when that hasn't been debunked, and there's a shitload of evidence, like all the kind of text messages and WhatsApp messages and the new bank wires that are coming to light. So essentially, it kind of made me think of someone like wearing like Democrat garb next to a dead body that's covered in blood, and that Democrat has a knife and it's covered in blood. And then when the cops turn up and they say, "What is this?" they go, "Oh, it's nothing. It's no evidence. There's no evidence here." That's what it felt like. Just flat out lying and saying the opposite of what you can clearly see directly into your face. It was crazy, crazy shit. And we're kind of fucked, man, because they'll never agree on anything. And now it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. When the impeachment escalates, it's going to get worse. Who started it? Who started it? They started it. They spied on Donald Trump. They used your tax money to spy on him. They used your tax money, $30 million around, to drag the country through this phony impeachment shit on about this Russia collusion that was literally made up by Hillary Clinton. The receipts are there. She paid campaign finance violations because she did it, so it's true. And it was all revealed in the Durham report, which had like 6 million pages of fucking interviews and evidence. They did all of that shit. They fucking started it. And now they have the audacity, when the other side tries to impeach their leader, they have the audacity to call that kind of fraud and wasting tax money. You've got to be kidding me. So we're fucked. This is going to escalate so much more. So much more. There's so much at stake. The corruption is so obvious of the deep state at this point that they're not going to go without a fight. They can operate with impunity. They've got the whole system behind them. So it's going to get extremely ugly. If the truth comes out, I feel that, like, fucking hell, half of the intelligence agencies are going to go to jail for treason, along with their co-conspirators in the mainstream media and big tech. And the whole system is riddled with it. Education, take your fucking pick. So these people are going to dig in, double down, triple down, quadruple down, pentuple, septuple down, you fucking name it. And the only way this is going to end is with a whole fucking shitload of arrests. And we're just fucking getting started. So buckle up, motherfuckers. What may happen will happen. So this impeachment inquiry hearing happened yesterday. And Kanakoa the Great, like, kicks things off. This guy is always tweeting out, like, pro-Republican stuff on X. He says, "New impeachment inquiry releases Hunter Biden's text messages to his Chinese energy company business partners, saying his uncle's brother," which is President Joe Biden, literally what it means, "will be attending meetings." So it's not just the big guy upstairs. There's different names they've now found that came out in some of the info drop just before this impeachment inquiry. Joe Biden was also known as Hunter Biden's uncle's brother, who attended meetings. And all throughout this fucking like 5-hour impeachment inquiry hearing, you got Democrats who said there's no evidence. There's no evidence at all. They just say they've got the bloody knife in their hand. There's no evidence. There's no evidence. And the amount of whataboutism was crazy. This was an impeachment inquiry about Joe Biden. Every single time it went to a Democrat, they're like, Donald Trump, this. They were fucking frigging themselves off over Donald Trump. That's basically what happened. Kanako the Great says, President Biden's brother, James Biden, told FBI agents that he and Hunter were trying to help this Chinese energy company purchase U.S. energy assets, while they believed the company's chairman was directly tied to Chinese President Xi Jinping. No evidence, say the Democrats, no evidence. However, James Biden, Biden's brother, told FBI agents, this is evidence, that he and Hunter Biden were helping a Chinese, basically Communist Party company, purchase U.S. energy assets. So now you can see how the corruption works. And here's the thing. They say there's no evidence, because you're stymieing all the evidence, and the people who are charged with finding the evidence are the DOJ, who knew about this all the time, didn't bring any charges to light, and when they did, they tried to cut a sweetheart deal. So the people who are supposed to investigate it are on the same team as Hunter Biden. They were the ones who investigated Donald Trump when they knew the evidence was created by Hillary Clinton, as proved in the Durham report. So why do you think it's hard to get the fucking proof? Because the people who can find out the proof, they are totally compromised by the Bidens. It's all in the Durham report. The evidence is here. That's what Joe Biden's brother said. And you see how the corruption works, because you know, okay, Hunter Biden, he's not capable of making the money on his own without his dad. So what is the dad giving? Like, that's what we're trying to find out. We had some information that came out, fact, in text messages and communications recently, found out by this oversight committee that one of these Chinese companies, higher ups, Joe Biden signs a letter of recommendation for one of his children to get into an American university. So that's kind of like quite a milquetoast thing that Hunter Biden was giving, selling US influence. But here you can really see how it works, right? There's a lot of your tax money out there in a Scrooge McDuck vault, and they have to work out, how can we get this money? Okay, so we're going to manufacture a war with Ukraine. Now we can take your money. We'll give loads of money to Ukraine. We'll give it to, we'll fucking launder it everywhere. We'll put it into military. We'll put it through like all these different private companies and shell companies. No, the average person's not going to find it. Even if they wanted to, the DOJ's on our side and they're not going to investigate it anyways. And then those motherfuckers will buy my son's paintings. Loads of those paintings, and then we're going to get the money back. Here you can see on another level how it works. Really interesting. So the US, the Chinese company wants to purchase US energy assets, but the only way that they can do that, definitely you need government approval to do that. Who's going to fucking authorize that? Biden and his cronies. That's how it's going to happen. And then if you facilitate that deal as Hunter Biden, you're going to get loads of fucking money. So essentially you're making money from an evil entity, the Chinese Communist Party. The US government has to allow it. Joe Biden and his cronies will do that, and Hunter Biden's going to be the man in the middle to make that happen. Then essentially Hunter Biden is going to get loads of money and kickbacks from this all. That is how it works. And then the Chinese Communist Party company can make shitloads of money after they purchase those energy assets. So Kanako the Great says, Rob Walker, a Biden business partner, also confirmed that President Biden attended a meeting with this communist company's chairman, Ye Jianming, who Hunter and James considered a protege of President Xi. So you got Biden's business partner doing deals with someone who they consider a protege of fucking Xi Jinping. And this can only happen because Joe Biden is going to sign it off. And ultimately, the money that Hunter's going to get is obviously going to go back to Joe Biden. Joe Biden is in these meetings. He's chartering Air Force Two to go over there. He's met some of these people. He's had coffee with them. This is all fact, as proved by the House Oversight Committee in their investigation. There is evidence here. Kanakawa says, the Bidens received millions from CEFC China Energy, including a $1 million wire transfer from CEFC's Patrick Ho, whom Hunter called the spy chief of China, after Ho was arrested by the DOJ for bribing African politicians with millions in cash for their country's oil rights. Okay, so the Bidens got money from a guy who was arrested for bribing politicians. So all these people they're working with are obviously shady as fuck. They've been arrested already for bribery. These are the people that Hunter Biden is mixing with. And Joe Biden is allowing these deals to happen. You simply cannot, as a Chinese company who is tied to the Communist Party, purchase US energy assets unless the US government signs off on it. Who do you think signing off on it? Do you see how this works? But yeah, in this hearing, no evidence, man. There's no fucking evidence. And it's so complicated that when someone just goes, nope, there's no evidence, these people that, with the exception of a few like Jim Jordan, who kind of know what's going on, most of these congressmen, they're like, fuck, they're looking through their notes and they can't say anything about it because it's so goddamn complicated and they're out of their depth. Kanakawa says, the Bidens received millions. And why did President Biden participate in business meetings aimed at financially enriching his family by selling U.S. energy assets to a Chinese energy company with direct ties to President Xi Jinping? No evidence. There's nothing. Seriously, this to me, I mean, there's no impropriety here at all. Why would you possibly investigate something like that when the person implicated is the President of the United States of America? Who fucking cares, man? Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. And all the Democrats voted against this impeachment inquiry. It's not about doing what's right. It's not about truth. All of these people are sociopathic liars. The system is corrupt and fucked. And this reminds me of the Durham report. So you've got all this stuff coming out, and the people doing the investigating, they say, oh, I found all this illegal shit, but I don't recommend any prosecutions because they know they're going to get Epstein'd. Like I said yesterday, imagine if you were in the middle of this and you had this evidence, right? You have this evidence that the Bidens are doing something improper. Would you feel completely comfortable just leaking this to the media, or probably would be more sensible to be subpoenaed and you know, get, you know, speak before the House Oversight Committee? Would you feel comfortable doing that? And would you feel you could go home and sleep at night and without any fear of somebody fucking putting a bullet in your head, coming out and implicating the Bidens? Would you feel comfortable doing that? Would you not feel your life would be in danger if you did that? I feel all these people know that if they come out and they're too strong against the Bidens and the system and the globalists and the Clintons and the Obamaites and the Bushes and all that, they know that their life is in danger. They're going to be disappeared. And that's why I think people are kind of, you know, pussyfooting around this. They're afraid. Okay, so we've got evidence here. This came out in the impeachment inquiry hearing. And oh my God, yeah. So this was one of the witnesses, and his name was Professor Turley. This is one of the guys I'm talking about. He reminds me of Paulie from Goodfellas. This was one of the witnesses that the Republicans brought out. And as I said, there's no new information coming here, but they're just getting things started. And he essentially did what Durham did when Democrats grilled him, especially Raskin, and said, do you think there should be an impeachment? He kind of said, no, there shouldn't. But we've crossed the threshold for impeachment. And he's thinking, I think he's thinking, yeah, like, I don't want to fucking end up like Obama's chef on a paddleboard. Yeah, no, there should be no impeachment, but we've kind of crossed. Man, so these are the kind of people the Republicans brought out, which is kind of funny. So the headlines, you know, against Joe Biden's impeachment were things like this from the Daily Beast. Daily Beast is some fucking serious left-wing kind of propaganda outlet along the lines of Pravda. And they say Republicans' long shot attempt to impeach President Joe Biden. Long shot, after all the shit we've just talked about in the last 20 minutes. Got off to a rocky start with their star witness, legal expert Jonathan Turley, outright saying he doesn't see any evidence to support impeachment. I do not believe that the current evidence would support. Okay, so when are we going to get to what else he said? While he conceded there was no evidence to support, Turley did say he believed the House had passed the threshold for holding an official inquiry. So, yeah, there shouldn't be an impeachment, but they're kind of sure. Like, please don't fucking Epstein me, and like all the cameras will be turned off and shit. Oh man, wildness. So this guy was like, they were constantly asking him questions and ting. One of the Republicans, like authorities, they brought into this impeachment inquiry hearing, and so on and so on. And there was a whole load of excerpts. And here's the thing, right? Nobody fucking watches these, and they're 4 to 5 hours long. And what will happen is Republicans will clip out the kind of bits I told you about earlier, where someone wanting to make a name for himself or herself, a congressman, will say, will kind of like try to do a gotcha on the other side and be all dramatic with their speech. And then someone will just clip that and they'll put it on X. And then people who don't have time, which is most people, to actually watch the whole thing, will look at it and go, wow, Republicans are winning, man, which doesn't help anyone, doesn't show the whole picture. And then Democrats do the same. They'll cut out, you know, a congressman who's like smashing the other side. And then they'll selectively edit it, take out any things that make them look bad, and they go, wow, like, Democrats are winning, Joe Biden is innocent. So it's kind of futile me showing you these little clips other than just for your entertainment. But the general gist of it was, this was not supposed to be, as far as I can see, revealing any new evidence or to have a smoking gun. It was to get the ball rolling on impeachment, and this is the first of various hearings that are coming. That was pretty much it. And that said, the witnesses and the experts that Republicans brought out, it didn't really seem like they helped their cause that much. And both sides kind of had a go at each other. And it wasn't really much we haven't heard before. They were going over a lot of old evidence, but there was a bit of new evidence. And the whole thing seemed so complicated that it was just a bit of a diluted experience. And it felt like a bit messy and drawn out. But at the very least, they are trying to impeach Joe Biden, and we're going to have to see what happens in the further hearings. I do want you to know that at the end of this hearing, Comer said that now they're going to get all the bank records from the Bidens. So we're going to skip to that before we look at any of the individual highlights from this, the first part of the impeachment inquiry against Biden. But James Comer essentially said, hopefully I can find it. I might have lost it. But I mean, I read it. So at the end of it, his little Easter egg, James Comer, who heads the House Oversight Committee leading this impeachment inquiry, he said that the next hearing they're going to have, they're going to have access to the all the bank records of the Bidens as much as they could get their hands on. So that is going to be fucking fascinating. And I can't wait for that. So let's look at some of the highlights from this, shall we? This impeachment inquiry hearing. So Representative Byron Donalds, according to Benny Johnson, roasts the Biden crime family live on TV while showing shocking text messages proving corruption. To my colleagues on the other side, we're going to start talking about evidence now.
Mr. Dubinsky, I'm going to come to you quickly. A lot of talk about evidence. On the screens in the room, we have an organizational chart from the IRS investigative team that was looking into the business practices of Hunter Biden and his associates. This org chart is from 2014. Now, Mr. Dubinsky, in my former life, I was in community banking, and I'm comfortable with looking at organizational charts. When I first saw this chart, the first thing I thought about was a real estate holding company or a developer, and this is not to demean developers in the great East state of America, but developers typically have multiple companies that float with various business interests and business lines. But the funny thing is that in the business dealings of Hunter Biden, there is no real estate. None at all. So, Mr. Dubinsky, in your professional experience, looking at this organizational chart of business structure, what do you see here?
I see a very complicated structure of entities that are interrelated and would give me concern. If I were an investigator, I would want to know what's going on in these entities, who's behind them, how's the money moving between them, and what is the substance of the transactions? What's really going on here?
Mr. Dubinsky, do you think it's in the interest of this committee that is now in an inquiry phase to actually find out all of the flow of money between these entities and what the purpose was?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Dubinsky, this guy. So this guy's an expert on fraud. So all of this was recorded, and yeah, his testimony you can hear there, and he's saying, yeah, like, fuck, man, these companies look shady as fuck. The business structure, it's usually associated with someone who has real estate. And essentially, the Hunter had no real estate. So the guy saying that he should be investigated, Dubinsky, let's see what kind of character he is. He says, I have no axe to grind. He wants to testify to help the American people. And he says he's going to lend his expertise. He says, throughout my 40-year-plus career as a certified public accountant, a forensic accountant, and a certified fraud examiner, I've worked tirelessly to uncover the truth, allegations of fraud, corruption, and wrongdoing. He's investigated some of the world's largest frauds, including having investigated and testified in the criminal case for the United States Department of Justice on the Bernie Madoff Ponzi, the largest Ponzi in the history of the world. I've worked cases like Enron fraud case. So this guy is the fucking master of fraud. And he said, yeah, like, looking at the Biden's business structure, definitely this should be investigated. And you can juxtapose that every time a Democrat talked, they said that, no, there's no evidence. There's no evidence at all. Mate, you don't need to be a world-leading expert auditor on fraud to see there should be a fucking audit here. Yeah, seriously, right? Like, imagine like a micro, let's go away from the macro of the Bidens and go to a micro individual case, like someone who's pissing around with their taxes. Let's say you're a tax investigator and you're looking at this guy and you're seeing like all these things, and then like his dad is this person and he's away in fucking China and there's all these shell companies. You're gonna go, duh, that doesn't need to be an investigation here at all. Looking at all this shit with Hunter Biden, and I've shown some of it today, all the text messages, the dad arriving, Chinese Communist Party the other day using Joe Biden's address, wiring $250,000 essentially to Joe Biden's address, involved in all of this, and the people involved in it have a history of criminality and corruption. You're going to go, there's no evidence, it doesn't deserve an investigation. Give me a fucking break. Insane. Insane shit. So let's look at some other information about this impeachment inquiry. Sebastian Gorka says, breaking 34 minutes into the impeachment inquiry, and the Dems have already forced the roll call to vote to table their motion to stop any inquiry. So this is completely partisan. Even if Joe Biden, like, they could have had smoking gun evidence. The Democrats didn't even want to see. They just said, no, I know he's innocent. So every single Democrat, essentially, who's representing you in America and the free world, they don't give a shit about justice or the truth. It's purely about making their side win, even if they're a criminal. Fact. So Representative Clay Higgins, this guy's a fucking boush. He's a boss. He's a fucking boss. He looks like a savage with his cue ball and his glasses. He let us know there's another pseudonym for Joe Biden. So it's not just the big guy upstairs. It's not just my uncle's brother, which we found out in this impeachment inquiry hearing. It's also political figure one. So there's now communications of Hunter Biden that have come out, and he speaks to his dad, referring to him as political figure one. You can hear about that here.
An IRS investigator. Political figure one is not a pseudonym created by Republicans or Democrats. Political figure one is President Biden, is Joe Biden. Leslie Wolf, as a priority, someone needs to redraft attachment B. There should be nothing about political figure one in here. This is a response to an email delivered by Joshua Wilson, FBI agent, said, please see the task draft for Blue Star search warrant. Blue Star Strategies is a longtime Democrat lobbying firm that Hunter Biden used to put pressure on U.S. government officials to end the investigation and protect Burisma. The Department of Justice was investigating Blue Star for these activities and allowed to retroactively register as a foreign agent.
So when Hunter Biden brought heat to himself and the Biden family because he was on the Ukrainian energy board Burisma and they were being investigated for corruption, and then Joe Biden is on camera saying he basically withheld them your tax money to stop the investigation, basically into his son, where they were making money in a money laundering scheme. I'm sure the Ukrainian energy board bought a lot of Hunter's paintings after the American government got the investigation off of them. Then apparently the DOJ, they were influenced by this group that Hunter Biden set up, this lobbying group to try to get the DOJ off him and just get out of the spotlight. Apparently the DOJ, in their investigations of Burisma and all this kind of stuff, they didn't refer to Joe Biden as Joe Biden. They refer to him as political figure one. So the DOJ are trying to cover up the fact that Joe Biden was implicated in this in their investigation. As I said before, the DOJ and the Bidens and the Obamas and the Clintonites, they're all one and the same. How the fuck are you supposed to win when the organization who can bring people to justice are on the side of the enemy? How can you fucking win? How can you win? So political figure one, that's what the DOJ essentially called Joe Biden to try to cover up the fact that Joe Biden would be involved in the Ukrainian energy scam.
day, no one has been held accountable at Blue Star. That happened during 2020, just months before your presidential election, America. You should be very concerned about this. Mr. Turley.
Okay. Interesting stuff there. So he keeps going. He keeps going.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Turley, Professor. We're going to be moving quickly here. Let us retract from the absurdities of 21st century Twitter. Let's go back to 1787, shall we? Article 2, Section 4, the President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. But high crimes and misdemeanors is not and never has been limited to indictable criminality. Mr. Turley, Professor, please tell us briefly, sir, what was the actual meaning in 1787 of high crimes and misdemeanors?
Well, this has been a matter of obviously robust debate for many decades. What we do know is that there were various terms that were offered and were rejected, the most famous being maladministration, and James Madison was uncomfortable with that. But they were also uncomfortable with limiting it to, like, treason and bribery.
Exactly. It was never designed to be limited by writ of statute, was it, Professor? Would Madison argue that, quote-unquote, betrayal of trust to foreign powers is an impeachable offense?
There are references into that type of betrayal of trust. But also, if you take a look at past impeachments, they have gone to the violation of public trust, including the use of office to perpetuate false accounts or to obstruct this body.
Agreed. So impeachment is a mechanism of our congressional authority. It's not.
But this one's a bit boring. Shouldn't have played that. Oh, he's looking at my beautiful face as well. Let's move on to another bit of information from the House Oversight Committee. So, what I said before, I was trying to find this information. They're now going to look at Hunter Biden's and Joe Biden's brother's personal and business bank records. They've been subpoenaed. So that's what's going to come in the next impeachment inquiry. You can see the Oversight Committee themselves X'd this out. They said subpoenas Hunter and James Biden's personal and business bank records. So this is something that's going to be very delicious. The thing is, they've got fucking shitloads of shell companies. They've got these fake companies that simply exist to kind of throw you off the scent, and they can just constantly and constantly refine and launder money through. So eventually you don't know where it's gone. I mean, fuck, man. Who fucking knows? Like, the diamonds and weird things that Hunter Biden has received. Yes, he has received those, though. That's a fact. Who fucking knows where this money's ended up? So I don't know how much is going to come out from this. You know, they've used loads of pseudonyms, and obviously they have to be careful here. And they've got the entire DOJ on their side, obviously covering this up and fucking firing up the oil drums right now. It's going to be hard as shit to get any info, but they have subpoenaed their personal and business bank records. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I mean, we saw all those big banks who did deals with Epstein's. They're paying people off in order to avoid legal cases and just throwing money at it, hoping it will go away. The bank records of all the Epstein clients are out there, and yet not one person has been tried in the crimes of Epstein other than Ghislaine Maxwell. She went to jail essentially for nothing, according to the courts, because of all the things she was accused of doing, there was essentially no evidence because nobody was deemed to be guilty of any, like, sexual assault. All those people who Epstein worked with, presumably thousands over decades, there's bank records of all of those people. Have you seen, you know, one subpoena of that? Have you seen any bank records? No. So, you know, using the same logic, are we going to fucking find anything from the banks that are subpoenaed to give information about James and Hunter? Because even if the banks did anything wrong and tampered with the evidence, do you think the DOJ are going to fucking go after them? I don't think so. I don't think so, bruv. So, all right, we've been chatting for a while, but I should show you what the opposition looked like. So this guy Raskin, he was the main antagonist for the Democrats. He was really pushing back against the impeachment claims. And this guy, I mean, fuck, man, just like bold-faced lying and gaslighting, and the hypocrisy was just insane. So this is Representative Jamie Raskin. What's MD? Which state is that? He's a Democrat. And this is some of the pushback he gave to the impeachment inquiry hearing. This is real IAIDS, so I'm just warning you.
Giuliani and Parnas searched high and low to find anyone who would endorse their contortions about Biden. Their failing crusade culminated in the infamous phone call that then-President Trump made to Ukrainian President Zelensky, in which
Trump called Zelensky because he was concerned that Joe Biden was withholding your tax money in order for political favors to essentially stop the investigation into his son, because he was obviously getting kickbacks from his son, and using your tax money to do that. It's so illegal. So that's what the whole Trump thing was about. Trump was impeached for that, which obviously looks true. And he's saying the impeachment for Trump doing that, finding out about the truth and corruption, is a crime. Fucking insane.
Threatened to withhold hundreds of billions of dollars in economic, strategic, and military security assistance to Ukraine.
He's saying Trump was withholding, like, your tax money to Ukraine. Joe Biden is on record saying that. It's so easy to find. He's on record saying that I withheld the money. And his son was fucking working there. Trump was doing this because his son was working there. So you... like, fuck, like, the gaslighting is insane. The gaslighting is insane. Trump withheld the money. Also, Biden withheld the money. Biden withheld the money first while his son was working there. And then when Trump saw that illegal shit, then Trump withheld the money to find out about that. And within the same sentence, this guy's saying... this guy is saying that Trump is bad for doing that, for noticing the bad shit that we did. You can't fucking make it up.
Unless Zelensky embraced their ridiculous fabrication and falsely advertised to the world that Ukraine was investigating Joe Biden.
Bruv, what the fuck is Hunter Biden doing working over there? Seriously, he's getting money from everywhere. It's on record on his WhatsApp messages saying his dad's on the phone. Why? Why in his own personal... Joe Biden flew out there with Hunter to China to have a meeting with a communist fucking company. How can you say this shit with a straight face? That there's no evidence. This is the shit that we're dealing with, dude. This is what I was watching last night.
This shakedown became the basis for the first House impeachment of President Trump.
So Trump was impeached for trying to investigate these people for their impeachable offense. So this motherfucker Raskin, now he was killing it though, because I wish I had that talent to just, okay, so there's loads of evidence against me and my team. I'm just going to fucking just deny everything outright, and I'm going to like call the other side guilty of doing exactly what I did. Even though some of those things I'm accusing them of being guilty over, there've been investigations over years with like millions of pages of evidence proving it was false. So I'm just going to it's to say I didn't do it. You did it, but you do it in such a believable way. Like if you were a normie in politics and looked at that guy, you might think, yeah, man, like fuck, Trump's bad and Biden's good. So Raskin, he was a real antagonist. So Raskin, he's saying we shouldn't impeach, but House Republicans, they X this out. They said in 2019, that same guy didn't think a House vote was even needed to launch an impeachment inquiry into Donald Trump. So essentially, if my side does it, it's okay. If your side does it, it's not okay. Because we're the bestest. We're the bestest. So you can see that guy Raskin, he's like the face of the anti-impeachment, going against the face of the impeachment. James Comer here is quite good.
Well, considering this is an investigation of Joe Biden, I assume that his name's going to come up.
Right, but the House has not authorized this as an impeachment inquiry, so we're just operating with the general rules. And I think saying that the president lied is considered engaging in a personality. Section 370 says accusations that the president has committed a crime or even that the president has done something illegal are unparliamentary. And we're operating with the general rules of the House because the House has not authorized.
The Speaker of the House has authorized the impeachment inquiry. It has been authorized.
Okay. All right.
Point of parliamentary inquiry.
The ranking member who wants to be recognized, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez.
I believe changing of the rules must require a vote from the full House of Representatives. The rules of the committee.
The chair overrules a point of order. While articles of impeachment are not directly before this committee, we are looking into the potential wrongdoing of the president. Given the unique nature and subject matter of today's hearing topic, these words will not be ruled out of order. So,
okay.
Ranking Member Ashton.
They're trying to stop the impeachment inquiry on a technicality. And I love the way AOC kind of butts in there. I think every time she speaks, what's in her mind is she's auditioning for a woke remake of Ace Attorney by Capcom that's been gender swapped. That's what's going on in her head. She thinks she's in this kind of cheesy American courtroom drama. So AOC, man, she really made a fool of herself in this. We'll come to that in a minute. So as I said, yeah, James Comey's going to subpoena Hunter and James Biden's bank records. That's how they ended the impeachment inquiry hearing. So you can look forward to that. And okay, so here is James Raskin defending Joe Biden. This is so maddening. This is what we're up against, man.
Donald Trump, but that's exactly what has not happened here.
Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. All they talked about is Donald Trump the whole time.
Don't have the votes because dozens of Republicans recognize what a futile and absurd process this is. Now, the title of the hearing is The Basis for an Impeachment Inquiry of President Joseph Biden. And yet they present us no basis at all today, even after 8 months of investigation. They've invited three witnesses.
No basis. No basis. No basis at all. Zero basis. I've showed you so much fucking basis. Hunter Biden is making millions. He's constantly referencing his dad. His dad is working with him, meeting the same people, on the phone with these people. Even his registered address received $250,000 at the height of all these scandals. No reason? Like, I don't know what if, as I said, like, you could have, they could have, you could find this motherfucker with the gun in his hand and a dead person on the floor. He's like, there's no reason. There's no reason to investigate me. That's what this shit is like. It's fucking crazy.
To testify, not one of them is an eyewitness to a presidential crime of any kind. Not one of them is a direct fact witness about any of the events related to Ukraine and Burisma.
Dude, the people who are supposed to do that are the DOJ, who just routinely will not investigate. They're trying to get him a sweetheart deal on the same side as it. That's where all the evidence is going to come from, essentially. We're really up against it.
Not one of them has participated in the 8 months of investigation in which our distinguished chairman has publicly boasted that he received 100% of everything he asked for. And I quote, every subpoena that I've signed as chairman of the House Oversight Committee over the last 5 months, we've gotten 100% of what we've requested, whether it's with the FBI, with the banks, or with Treasury. That means we are the real witnesses here. In fact, the committee has received 12,000 pages of bank records. Here they are, right in front of us, printed double-sided. And not
I love this. Look, I've got this massive box that we're not even going to open and go through. This, like, the Republicans will show these the evidence, actually show it there, and they'll quote from it. And he's like, yeah, I've got this shit in a box. Mate, there's nothing in those fucking boxes, and you know it.
Single page shows a dime going to President Joe Biden.
This is, mate, do you think it's going to go direct? Do you think they're going to come over with like a fucking duffel bag full of cash and like put it on Biden's doorstep? This is why they have 20 shell companies, you idiots. It's so funny.
We've received 2,000 pages of SARS reports.
Listen, I want to ask this guy a question. Do you think Hunter Biden is capable of making tens of million dollars on his own without any support from his father? That's all they had to fucking ask this guy. That's all they had to ask him.
Subpoenaed. We've held hearings and conducted interviews with everybody from Hunter Biden's business partners to a federal agent assigned to that investigation, and still we found no evidence of wrongdoing.
Dude, no, his business partner said that Joe Biden was on the fucking phone, bruv. So let's investigate him. Oh, wait, the DOJ had to investigate him, and they're currently trying to get his son off the hook while arresting Donald Trump.
By President Biden. If the Republicans had a smoking gun or even a dripping water pistol,
I think this guy's projecting about his own dripping water pistol.
They would be presenting it today, but they've got nothing on Joe Biden. All they can do is return to the thoroughly demolished lie that Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump launched 5 years ago. the Burisma conspiracy theory, a fairy tale so preposterous that one of its main authors, Lev Parnas, has now disowned and repudiated.
It's so preposterous. A conspiracy. Hunter Biden, a crackhead, who's mingling with all these people who've literally gone to jail for corruption, is working on their energy board in Ukraine when he can't speak the language and has no qualifications. And his dad is saying, I'm going to deny them American aid unless they stop investigating my son. It doesn't, like, fuck, I don't know what would have to happen. Gun in the hand, blood all over you. Like a videotape of you killing the person, like this running behind you. I didn't do nothing, bruv. There's no fucking evidence here. I love this. Meanwhile, this is all going through slowly, going through Congress, and it's an impeachment inquiry. It might take a year, and then there's a few rhinos who don't support it. Meanwhile, these judges who want to make a name for themselves are like suing Donald Trump. Where the fuck are the ballsy Republicans out there who are suing Joe Biden and Hunter Biden? Where the fuck is it? You just don't have it, man. You just don't have it. So that was funny. So you had all those boxes. And Comer, like I said, they edit out all the good information. All those boxes he brought out, I think, I don't know what's in them, man. What do you think's in the box? It's definitely not Hunter Biden. It's not Biden's bank records. After that, the guy who's leading this, the oversight committee, James Comer, he goes, well, I'm glad you brought the boxes, because if you, like, he says something like, if you had brought the amount of money that the Bidens made off these illicit dealings, the boxes would be stacked to the ceiling, which is funny. But again, all this devolves into these little sound bites of these people trying to kind of get ahead in politics. So, yeah, so you've seen enough of Raskin. You get the idea. I've got other clips of him, but you get the idea. He's that was pretty much the tone for all of this. But then, look, the guy saying there's no evidence, then Mad Bull America tweets out this. He says, how can people not think Joe is involved or benefiting from the Hunter's corrupt business dealings? So this is a message from Hunter Biden. It says, send me text saying what you told me over the phone. If you no longer wish to be involved in this venture, regardless of how tangentially I need it in writing, because at you have pointed out over and over. Mate, this guy can't even fucking spell. And he's in a linguistic role on the Ukrainian energy board. Because at you have pointed out, you cannot be my uncle or protector. So this is Joe Biden's brother and counsel, if you don't have all the information. Well, this time I don't have any information at all. And these guys may or may not be something different than I thought. I promise I did everything I could to make certain of that they adhered to our standards. But Jesus, this is insanely complicated. Anyway, we can talk later, but this is Joe Biden's brother. You've been drawn into something purely for the purpose of protecting Dad. Okay, protecting Dad against what? Something that you started, Hunter? And I don't know any of the bullshit money is mine ultimately. You're no evidence, like, nothing dodgy going on here at all, guys. Joe Biden's brother involved with Hunter in all of this stuff in a message, as you can see there. So Hunter Biden can't even spell. This guy's making fucking like tens of millions doing like super complex deals with Ukraine and Romania and the Middle East and shit. And China. How is he doing it if he's not getting something from Biden, who's always on the phone, who travels with him to these deals? No evidence, though. No evidence at all. We shouldn't have any. The American people don't deserve it. It's obviously innocent. Obviously innocent. The guy who was there, Raskin, saying that there should be no impeachment, he also X this out. He says the escalating nationwide book ban crisis poses a dire threat to our First Amendment rights. Oh, man, I love it. A strong democracy supports the free exchange of ideas and doesn't cave to revisionist censors. Revisionist censors. He came out and said the first impeachment inquiry against Donald Trump was valid because he was in cahoots with Russia. That's a revisionist censor. That actually was false and nothing came of it. He says, I'm standing on the side of students, teachers, librarians, and free and freedom. This guy's policy is just say the opposite of what I am. It's pretty simple, really. Okay. So you wanna get more IA. So this woman, this congressman, Mrs. Stanbury, you want to hear the fucking aides the Democrats were spewing trying to argue against the impeachment inquiry against Biden? Listen to this shit.
We also know that if Donald Trump doesn't get his way, he wants his loyalists to shut down the government. How do we know that? Because he posted it right here on his...
Yeah, man, free speech is fucking bad. Lock him up. Wait, hang on. What are we here for? We're going to talk shit about Trump? Oh, this is about a Biden inquiry? Impeachment inquiry? Fuck it. I'm just going to talk about Donald Trump. Hashtag whataboutism.
Social media. And his loyalists in this committee who are doing his bidding for him today retweeted it.
Doing his bidding. So what she's saying is Donald Trump is actually like pulling the strings and behind this impeachment of Biden. When Hillary Clinton and Obama presided over the spying of Donald Trump, they literally tried to get rid of him illegally from office. And she said that Donald Trump is trying to illegally get Biden taken out of office. This is the fucking shit we're dealing with, man. These people, they're not actually talking about what's best for the country. It's just my side versus your side.
And in fact, it actually says right here that the reason why they want to defund the government and impeach is because this is the last chance to defund these political prosecutions against.
Yeah, man, like, because this guy's trying to stick up for himself, because we're trying to throw him in jail because he's legally running for presidents, that means he's attacking us unfairly when he wants to stop us sending him to jail. Yeah, okay, I see, lady. I just can't play AOC's one. I can't play it. Oh, no, let's do it. This is really funny. So AOC, like, it feels like she gets her strategy from some random Instagram DM from a few influencers. And she goes, hey, everyone, I've got some special information. The Republicans tampered with the evidence today and it's all fake. She didn't even read what was tampered. Didn't give any context in this clown show. Look at this.
I want to emphasize why that's important. Earlier today, one of our colleagues, a gentleman from Florida, presented up on this screen something that appeared to be a screenshot of a text message containing or insinuating an explosive allegation. That screenshot of what appeared to be a text message was a fabricated image. It was a fabricated image. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it was the staff of the committee, but it was not the actual direct screenshot from that phone. And in fact, I would like to submit to the committee the actual full context from the Ziegler affidavit number one, exhibit 402, of the full text of that exchange. Do I have permission from the chair? Importantly, what was brought out from that fabricated image excluded critical context that changed the underlying meaning and allegation that was presented up on that screen.
Fuck, man. Okay, I can't wait to hear what this is.
By this committee and by members of this committee.
What was it?
Now, they are well within their right
to, like, just one word explaining, or like one sentence?
Because they are covered by the speech and debate clause. This was not submitted by a material or fact witness under oath. That was not submitted by a material or fact witness under oath.
Fuck, okay, nah, we shouldn't do this impeachment, y'all. So what it looked like there's obviously a huge dialogue, and she said, okay, they didn't use all of it. It was like tampered with. So they took like a choice excerpt. Oh, mate, like playing by the rules that you fucking live and die by, I see. And you didn't even read out what it was. So that was her gotcha. This is the clown show. This is the clown shoe on the gas of the clown car rolling down the hill with the clown crew. Okay, so Republican Lisa McClain, she took Biden apart. Listen to this.
Comments. First, to Professor Gerhardt, I love the analogy that you used about the speeding ticket with Hunter Biden. Let me also see if you would agree with this analogy. If a criminal pulls a trigger for a murder, he's guilty, right? And we can prove it. But don't you also agree with me, if somebody ordered that hit, we would charge him too?
This is a fucking killer line. This is a killer fucking line. So I think it was Raskin earlier was coming out and saying, you know, it's not related. This is the dumbest thing ever. It's true, right? Like, does the mob boss go out himself and fucking kill everyone with a katana sword? Like a Yakuza video game? No, they don't. They get someone else to do it. They get some, like, schmuck to do it. And that has the added effect of, if something goes wrong, it's like, I didn't fucking do it. You think Joe Biden's going to get on the plane himself and go in there and, like, come out with these duffel bags over his fucking head? Of course he isn't. This is the dumbest argument. It's like, okay, Joe Biden's, Joe Biden has to directly go then pick up the money. No, that's not how it fucking works. If you have 20 shell companies, you're going to have 20 different people in order to get the money back to you and make it difficult to trace.
It's interesting that you don't use that analogy. That's number one.
I have a reason for not using it, but yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't fit the narrative is the reason.
No, because
number two, boom. I'm amazed at, and I love the fact that Trump lives rent-free in the Democrats' heads every day. That is a beautiful thing, even though we're here talking about the impeachment inquiry of Joe Biden.
This is all they talked about was Trump, this, Trump, that. The thing, but again, this devolves into my side is the best and fuck you. And I want to have this. I mean, we're not really talking about the issue here, which is the president of the United States is potentially compromised because his son was doing deals with communist countries and communist companies and various governments around the world in exchange for US political favors, so he could enrich himself via his son as a proxy with essentially using your tax money. That's the fucking issue here. We're not talking about that. Anyways, let's keep going.
That said, I want to talk about the damning evidence of Joe Biden's role in his family's business schemes in Romania. While Joe Biden was president, he was directly involved in the United States policy and anti-corruption efforts in Romania. That's a fact. On May 21st, 2014, the then Vice President Biden delivered an anti-corruption speech in Romania, right? On September 28th, 2015, the president visited with the then Vice President Biden, the Romanian president visited with the then Vice President Biden at the White House to discuss anti-corruption efforts, right? Got a theme of corruption, anti-corruption, right? Gabriel Popovich, a corrupt Romanian oligarch, in the subject of a criminal probe, he's the subject of a criminal probe and prosecution for corruption and bribery in Romania. This committee has reviewed transactions showing that the Biden family received money from a foreign company run by this Russian oligarch, corrupt Gabriel Popovich. 5 weeks after the Romanian president visited with Vice President Biden, Popovich begins paying Hunter Biden and his associates, Rob Walker, through his company, Bladen Enterprises. The money from Bladen Enterprises is deposited directly into Robinson Walker LLC. Now, this LLC is directly operated by Hunter's known business partner.
No evidence at all. Just nothing to see here. Nothing to see. No evidence at all. So there you go. There was an impeachment inquiry hearing against Biden. It was held in Congress. In the House, and Democrats and Republicans couldn't agree on anything. It wasn't that much new evidence, but you can see there obviously is a shitload of evidence. Democrats are just tripling down. They will defend their side first out of loyalty, and then I would say second, but they don't even care about justice or truth or anything like that, because before all of that was said or presented, they all voted against it immediately. That's what's going on. More to come. This is the first of many hearings the House Oversight Committee will hold. And the next one, apparently, they've subpoenaed Hunter and Joe Biden's brother's like business dealings and bank records. So that should be very interesting. Stay tuned for that. Popovich. Okay. So there you go, y'all. Also, loads of illegal immigration. If you want to go back to the beginning of the show, if you missed it, Elon Musk went to the southern border and interviewed some Border Patrol agents. They estimate around 7 million illegals coming in every year. 9 out of 10 of those will never be granted asylum, and 0 of them return. You come in after 2 years, you have a hearing, 9 out of 10 of them will fail. But even if you fail and they ask you to go back to your country, they can't get you out of the country. So America is in an interesting situation right now. I'll tell you how to slightly make this better. You can vote for Donald Trump because he doesn't want that. But the Bidens don't seem to care. That's my personal opinion. I think that's kind of true, though, wouldn't you say? Anyways, if you enjoyed today's show, please consider donating. The link is there. And yeah, I'll be back tomorrow, bruv. Much love and take care. Cheers. I'll see you down there. I'll see you watching. See you later.